call this meeting to order. If everybody could please rise and join me with the pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a regular meeting of the Borough of Highlands Planning Board and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, and notice has been posted on the Bolton Public Bulletin Board. Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
Here.
Mr. O'Neill is absent. Mr. Schulner?
Here.
Mr. Carla is absent. Mr. Roberts is absent. Ms. Peterson?
Here.
Mayor Nolan is absent. Mr. Stockton?
Here.
Ms. Ruby?
Here.
Mr. Gallagher.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Yes.
There aren't too many things on our agenda tonight. We jump down from item 4 to item 9 on the agenda, hearings on new business, and under that we have PB number 2011-1, Ciscator Irrevocable Trust. It's for property on Portland Road at Block 1, lots 14 to 18, and Block 3, lots 9 through 11.
Good evening, Mr.
Good evening.
Mr. Chairman, the notices have been submitted. They're in proper form. Board has jurisdiction here, Mayor.
Okay.
All right. This is an application for a minor subdivision. We are essentially moving some lot lines around to create a buildable lot in front along the Shrewsbury River. And we are creating two lots to provide access to the water for properties that are situated on 7.01 and 7.02, so that they will have the ability to have docks along the Shrewsbury River. Those two lots, which we'll get into the details thereof, being lots 1102 and 1103, there is no planned development for those lots. So what I like to do initially, as I mentioned at the informal, we did receive a AEP CAFRA permit, Coastal Area Facility Review Act, for the proposed home, which Mr. Hopkins will be describing in his testimony. And maybe we can have that marked
A1?
As A1. Sure. Now, the variances in question, the majority of them are existing conditions which are not being exacerbated as a result of this application. We do have some lot depth variances associated with proposed lot 9.01 and 14.01, and a front yard setback on 14.01, which is an existing condition. Bulk of the new variances really are associated with lots 11.02, 11.03, which there's going to be no development thereon. So at this time, I'd like to have Mr. Hopkins sworn, and I intend on calling Mr. Hopkins tonight as both a professional engineer and a professional planner.
Sir, please rise. Let me swear the testimony about to give in this matter the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Please state your name for the record and spell it for us, please.
Walter Hopkins. W-A-L-T-E-R-H-O-P-K-I-N.
Mr. Hopkins, would you place your credentials on the record, please?
Sure. I have a Bachelor of Science from Drexel University. I'm a licensed planner in the state of New Jersey, licensed engineer in the state of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. Used to be your borough engineer and planning and zoning board engineer here in the borough. I've testified before many municipalities in the area, Marlboro, East Brunswick, Millstone, South Brunswick, Cold Bridge.
As both professional engineer and professional planner.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll accept
thank
that.
You, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chair. Okay. Mr. Hopkins, you prepared the plans in this matter, which are identified as a minor subdivision by WJH Engineering, consisting of four sheets.
That's correct.
The date of 2/25/11, last revised 6/1/11. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Serpico, if you have an extra copy up there in your file, you can mark one A2.
Here's A1, by the way, in case you need it for testimony.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have a copy down here.
Okay.
Sure.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you make sure this is what you want to want?
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Hopkins.
Isn't it consisting of three sheets?
Four.
I have to do the fourth one offered by someone else?
Yes, the fourth sheet is a survey.
Prepared by John T. Tufts, but it's part of the package which Mr. Hopkins submitted as part of his plans.
You need this to testify? You're going to use this to testify for?
No, we have a plan. You're
okay,
right?
Okay.
Well, I just want to have one marked for a file.
That's okay.
Also, on my left, we also have a diagram prepared by Mr. Hopkins' office, which we should try and mark A3. All right. And Mr. Hopkins, maybe you can describe with just the mark that the easel is A3.
A3 is a color rendered version of the subdivision plans prepared by my office, and it's color coordinated to try to show how the lots are being consolidated.
All right. Can you describe what the existing conditions are today on the site?
Yeah, the it's lots 14 through 18 in block 1, lots 9 through 11. It's off of Portland Avenue in your R1.03 zone. Currently, the property in question is 6 lots plus lot 8. So there's 6 lots that we're trying to consolidate. Lot 14, lot 16, lot 18, lot 9, lot 10, and lot 11. Those are the lots that we're going to change the size and the shape of. Lot 8 has been shown just because this will be lot 8 will be the benefit of one of the other lots by deed. Then to the right, we've shown the consolidation of lots 14, 16, and part of lot 18. That'll be known as lot 14.01. We'll have an existing home on it. And we'll have a strip of land which extends down to the water to provide waterfront access for that lot.
So, Hopkins, is there any planned development on those lots you just described?
The only lot that's planned for development would be the new proposed lot 9.01.
Okay. Nothing to do with existing lot 14, 15, 17, is that correct?
That's 16. Correct.
So that is an existing home there, is that correct?
That's correct.
And that is the one that has an existing condition as it relates to front setback from the right-of-way?
Yes.
And also lot depth?
Yes.
And there's nothing being done there to exacerbate those conditions?
No.
Our existing conditions and will remain as such?
That's correct. The lot will become larger, and a rear yard setback which does exist, will be eliminated due to the inclusion of lot 14 into that lot.
Okay. And that is new lot 1401, is that correct?
That's correct.
So, I assume you meant a rear lot deficiency that exists is going to be eliminated.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You just said rear lot.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Now, the required lot size in this zone is 14,000 square feet, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And the proposed lot 1401 is actually more than 2 times the requirement of, and it sits at 30,000?
30,716.
As proposed.
Yes.
The lot depth will remain at 91 feet, is that correct?
That's correct.
And again, the front yard setback is just off the right-of-way by, I guess, less than a foot.
0.6 feet.
And the lot depth, I guess, is just because of the odd shape of that right-of-way through there?
The lot depth is dictated by the right-of-way and the confines of the rear property line. Is that correct, Mr. Hopkins?
Yes, and I took a conservative. I think your engineer agreed with my interpretation of the way that it was measured.
Okay.
Okay. Now move
the driveway coming down, or the right of way coming down along that frontage there.
Yes.
Where is that improved to? right now, existing?
It's improved right past this, the existing home up here.
Okay.
Between the existing home and this is actually a garage.
And so right after that, it's pretty much just the paper street all the way down and well, around and then all the way down to the waterfront.
And actually, it was paved at one time. You can, if you go down there, you can see there's concrete that's been kicked up. And, okay. And I think there's actually a curb down there. We actually had a disagreement with CAFRA because they wanted to include that as pervious area, but it was obvious that there was pavement there.
Okay, now moving along now to down the right of way, so to speak, towards the river. We now go to new proposed lot 9.01. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how did you consolidate those existing tax lots to formulate 9.01 on this plan?
Well, we wanted to make it as large as possible. We took lots, existing lots 9 and 10, and a portion of lot 18. Consolidated it into a 17,804 square foot lot. The only thing we left over from lot 18 was a small strip to allow for waterfront access for proposed lot 9.01.
And again, that lot size area exceeds the zoning requirement of 14,000 square feet.
That's correct.
The deficiency with that lot is attributable to the lot depth, which is 93 feet. Again, it is situated between the right-of-way and the high water mark. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, moving to the north, you have created
Is there any way to reshape it to eliminate that lot depth or not? Not really. I see if you move the lot line that you have between new lot 9.01 and new lot 14.01, if you move that further to the west, that's not going to do anything to eliminate the lot depth.
My interpretation of your lot depth would have been measured this way.
Right in there.
Okay. The only other thing that could have been done would have been to rotate the house, face it towards this portion of the right-of-way, but it would have created additional impervious area because we would have had to pave further or repave further down, and it's doubtful that capital would have ever permitted that.
Okay. Moving north now, across a stub right-of-way that runs to the river, we've created a lot 11.02, which is only 2,500 square feet. Is that correct?
2,458, yes.
Okay. And what is the reason for the creation of that lot?
This is to provide waterfront access to the existing home on lot 8.
And that there will be no development on that lot?
That's my understanding.
And the applicant is willing to deed restrict that lot against development.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Other than the fact to request the board possibly with the ability to put up a small shed or a little boathouse for storage in the event there is a dock there someday.
Yes. Okay.
Moving along now to your proposed lot 11.03. Now maybe you could describe that in conjunction with existing lot 12 as those last two lots remaining on the site. And the purpose of the allocation of those lots to the upland of 701 and 702.
11.03 is really just the leftover from the 25-foot strip that we provided for lot 8.
Excuse me.
Yes.
You know what? I think there's members of the public that would like to see this. Is there any way we
can?
Thank you very much. No, why don't you come on up? Come up closer to the front, and we'll turn it a little bit so that you can perhaps get a better view. This way the board can see it as well.
Okay, we were talking about 1103 and lot 12.
It's really just the leftover. Rather than go into lot 12 and further reduce the size of lot 12, we just decided to stay with lot 11, carve off the 25-foot strip for access to lot 8, and leave 11.03. It's my understanding that 11.03 would be available to one of the upper lots, lot 7.01 or 7.02, to provide waterfront access to those lots.
I see that on the rendering there, the color rendering. I don't see it on your minor subdivision plan.
What don't you see? Like the
The brown lot that you have there, the line work for that does not show in your minor subdivision.
Go to sheet 4.4.4. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at that, and that doesn't show on my copy anyway. It doesn't show the subdivision.
Yeah, it's not showing.
It's showing
4.7.
4 shows it. I think just that, well, to possibly that dashed line. Yeah.
No, it must have been something when I put it out. That copy.
And that is your exhibit that was marked. Right? I don't know.
Yeah. What sheet is that?
What sheet is that?
This is sheet 3 of 4.
Okay, let's take a look.
Three is what Andy has.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you just have to supplement. Yeah, you want to use that as you want to go to market?
Yeah.
And leave it with us? And okay, we'll make that
A4. I apologize. And what is A4 now?
A4 will be
the replacement of sheet 3?
Yes, in A2. It'll replace sheet 3 of A2.
Mm-hmm.
And it depicts the proper lot line as proposed. Would that be a correct characterization?
Yes, it would.
What's the revision date on that?
It is the same revision date, 6/1/11. I think sheet 4 also accomplishes what it's doing. Yeah, it might be a little bit more convoluted.
No, it'll let this be.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, sheet 4 does show it.
It does show it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just take a scan.
All right, so just to recap then, we have previously approved from the board several years ago lots 7.01 and 7.02. They do not have direct river access due to the dissection of the unnamed right of way between 11 and 12. Is that correct? 7.01 and 02 are side by side, and 11 and 12 are side by side. It's front on the river, but they are dissected by unnamed right of way between 7.01 and 7.02. As a result of that, the applicant desired to have frontage on the rivers, so in order to provide the ability for docks for 7.01 and 7.02. Is that correct?
That's correct.
There is no development plan for lot proposed lot 11.02. And again, we would deed restrict with the understanding that possibly the ability of possibly a shed or a small boat facility.
Which one's 1102?
1102 and 1103.
Got it. Okay, just want to make sure the board understands what we're working on.
And I'd ask that any deed restricts to have the ability for an applicant or owner in the future to approach the board for relief under that restriction. Okay.
So that goes to both of those lots.
Yes, that would be
1102 and 1103.
That's correct.
No, let me just, I think, Mr. Stockton, lot 8 goes to 1102 goes to lot 8.
Okay.
1103 goes to 701.
That's correct.
And this isn't part of the application, but lot 12 would go to 7.02.
Okay. Lot 12 has no.
Yeah, lot 8 would have the ability, again, as Mr. Hopkins stated earlier in the evening, to have a dock.
Did lot 12 change in size? Was that part of this study?
No.
No.
Why do you want the deed restricted?
Well, we're asking the board to create two undersized lots, but we're not asking the board to give us permission to develop them. We just want to have the ability to utilize those lots to have frontage on the Shrewsbury River for the purposes of having a dock constructed to serve lot 8. 11.02 would serve lot 8. 11.03 701 and lot 12, 702.
Under the current CAFRA
because these are all under a common ownership, it wouldn't be permitted under the current rules to get these developed, to get homes on these, regardless of any variances that we request from this board. So that's another reason why it can be de-restricted, because it's unlikely that it would be permitted by the DEP.
Is Lot 12, even though it's not part of this application, is that already deed-restricted against?
No. Okay. No. Not part of the application, but we have no intentions of doing any work at this point on 12, 11, or obviously the other side. Okay.
Have you thought about vacating that existing right-of-way somehow, if that helps organize things a little bit? Or?
We could. I mean, it'd take the governing body to do that. I prefer not to. We don't have to. Okay. We did do some vacations, as you recollect, on the entrance as we came in on the minor subdivision we did several years ago at 701, 702. We did some deed, right-of-way.
Will the upland lot owners be in common ownership with these waterfront lots?
Yes, they would. Okay. We would. We, assuming we sold off, for example, 701.
Okay. Okay.
We also sell off at 701, 11.
Okay.
Okay. Likewise, if lot 8, assuming the board approves the subdivision, proposed lot 11.02 will then be deeded to common ownership of lot 8.
Okay. So they'll be cross-referenced. Everything will be tied. You'll tie everything in.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then I'll review it.
And again, okay. The only lot that we're creating where there will be a home
is the blue lot.
Is right. 901, which was the CAFRA permit, subject of the CAFRA permit. So essentially, it's a little confusing because we're moving a lot of lines around, but at the end of the day, one new house, everything else is pretty much the same.
What's the ownership of 1101?
1101?
That's a strip that runs right along the river.
I had that question.
That is a riparian. That is a riparian.
And who owns that?
It flows to the upland owners. Ray Walker is our environmentalist. He's here, but I can answer that question. I've been involved in a lot of riparian over the years. It flows to whoever the owner of the upland is. You do not have to subdivide riparian grants. You can have one grant that runs the length of the river. You can have 100 homes on it, and that, which is directly in front, flows to that upland owner.
So that upland owner automatically gets use of that
correct.
Grant there.
That's correct.
Even though somebody else.
Even though the grant was given 100 years ago to probably one property owner who owned the entire strip, now over the years, obviously, I've seen many grants. I don't know if you're familiar with Gooseneck Point and Oceanport, but there's one grant that runs the whole almost the whole length, and there must be 20 homes now.
And as a matter of law, it's your property if it's in front of you.
For your DEP use. Requires that it attaches to the upland ownership. That's why we have to do certain things with these docks.
I've gone through that process with Tidelands on another project where that agency deals with the subdivision of the grants and right. The property owner on another project wanted it organized to the new lot lines. Would you want to do something like that here, or you don't think it's necessary?
I don't think it's necessary. I'd rather not, but I don't have to. DP, to my knowledge, and we've conferred with Mr. Walker, does not necessarily require that.
Okay.
I don't think we have an ordinance that would address the development of accessory structures on those lots. How do you suggest we deal with that?
Well, I can understand that's probably a zoning board of adjustment issue, because accessory structure on a lot standing by itself. So maybe if you just put in your resolution, you'd have no objection, per se, for some type of structure to serve a dock for storage purposes. And then if a person wants to have one, they have to go to the Zoning Board of Adjustment. They go.
Yeah, makes sense.
Get approval.
Yeah, because we can't grant authority to build an accessory
right.
structure.
That's I just did want it some, you know, I just want some language in there that the board doesn't see an issue with it, however it's subject to the Zoning Board.
But if, I guess if you, going back to the chairman's question about the vacation, that gets vacated, it kind of cleans up that whole issue, right? Because if the road's vacated, half of those each lot, and technically those lots would be
actually causes a problem with 11.02. Because 8 does not align directly above 11.02. So you don't get the 50-50. The split would be between 701 and 1102.
So you'd actually have to have some really small access easement through the current right of way to get.
I'd rather keep it simple because it can start getting awful complicated.
Well, does that generate an access for the public to that property?
You presently have it's a public right of way.
So the riparian grant goes to the public.
The public right of way extends from on top of the hill with Portland Road down to the water.
Was that part of a concern with the DEP review process? Did they ask you to provide public access, or did they ask you to document the existing public access?
They asked us to document that this was a public right of way. And I knew it was because I went to the council and had part of it vacated when we did 701 and 702.
Actually, if you vacate the portion that goes towards the water as well, that opens up a small space that connects the two lots.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's why I just asked that question. if you vacated that, you could kick the lot line, the southerly lot line for lot 1102 over to that line, and then you have a little overlap to lot 8.
I don't know how much we really accomplish by doing all that. I mean, it's just, I don't need the exercise, you know what I mean, Rob?
But what it might do that way, though, Marty, is in the future, if the homeowner at lot 8 wants to put a boathouse or shed or something on lot 11.02, it's an accessory use that way, and an accessory structure, rather than a principal use on lot 11.02 by itself. So there might be a benefit there to actually doing that, but like you said, I kind of understand how complicated it could get too.
Yeah. It's a trade-off. I mean, it's a balance. I don't know. We can do it. Board wants us to do it, we'll do it. I don't know how much we really accomplished by doing.
But then that would eliminate the public right away down to the water.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. So I just found out that exists. So
I knew it existed all along.
Yeah. I mean, next summer,
we don't have a problem. Yeah, we don't have a problem with it.
Right. Right, and also you might have an applicant that's looking to preserve public right of way.
Yeah. That's I think you just leave it as is, and if the public wants to use it, they can use it. If they don't, they don't. It's up to them.
It's fair. It's not your intent to approve it in any way.
We're only going to improve it as far as the DEP lets us improve it, right, Walter?
Well, just to provide access to the new home.
I know Rob had mentioned that little stub vacating it in his review letter, but I don't know. I think I just sort of leave it there. It provides for a little turnaround area for something, or park a car in here.
The reason why I mentioned that is realistically, I think it's going to act as a parking space for the proposed well. I don't really see that being used for any public purpose other than that.
Janet can park there when she goes.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, again, I can do it. I don't know what it accomplishes by vacating that little stub. I just assume leave it. Leave well enough alone. It's been there for how long, Phil?
That's 1945. So. Yeah.
Do you want to go through Rob's memo?
Sure.
While we're on it, and address those issues.
So just to summarize, and we can do this again at the end, but the variances that we're requesting fall into. Well, there's three categories, mainly two. One is existing variances that, due to the size and shape of this property, we can improve, and we're not exasperating in what we're doing. Or variances on lots that we've agreed to deed restrict from future development. There's a third, I think, that Mr. Keaty identified with regard to our slopes. So that kind of brings me to page 3, and where Mr. Keaty identifies the variances. If there's anything on page 1 or 2 that the board would like me, or Mr. Keaty would like me to address, I certainly can. But starting with page 3, he's kind of laid those out into the two categories that I'm talking about. All the way down at I is the variance with regard to the disturbance of the slope. Well, really, I guess technically we are disturbing the slope, but what we're really doing is just kind of trying to reduce the slope of the existing right-of-way, which was concrete, and just make it a little less steep on the area to the proposed home. So we're going to improve it on top of what's there, clearly the vegetation that's grown over, and pave over the existing paved area, and just kind of smooth it out to a little bit more comfortable slope. So those are the variances that we're requesting.
The thought of entering this property from the north in a main right of way where there is no real grade change and go into what looks like the basement level and avoid the steep slope, is that something that's practical?
No, it's great.
Sure.
Entering from the north?
Yeah, it appears that you're crossing the steep slope where you're exiting the existing right of way. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe there is an existing portion that's still continuing to the east towards the proposed building. But I can see that to the north of the proposed building there is no grade change.
I see what you're saying. Well, the reason that we did it that way, we were very restricted by the amount of disturbance that we could do. So really kind of what we were trying to balance was the amount of disturbance the CAFR would allow with your variances. So if you see that building is kind of pinned to the front yard setback. So if I were to shift it over...
I wasn't talking about moving the building. I was just talking about moving the access.
Right. If I move the access, it would increase the impervious area
okay. And
the disturbance. And we were dead on as it was. DEP, we really had a struggle with them. They included the whole right-of-way as pervious, as if it were grass, even though we documented that it was paved. So we were really hamstrung by the amount of disturbance that we could do because they were making us include, because if you go out there now, you can see that there's stuff growing on top of the pavement, on top of the concrete. So we're really hamstrung on our amount of impervious area that CAFR would allow us to do it. And so they included the improvements for the right-of-way.
Even though the improvements were not on our property, they were on municipal property, they still counted them towards us.
So the plan is to bring fill in order to create a driveway that reaches the house without...
By lessening the slope, that's correct. And then kind of taper it off to the end and get it back to existing.
And I guess the driveway has that shape to make sure that passenger vehicles have the ability to K-turn and turn around in there?
Yes. I mean, this is just a box. We don't have architectural plans for this yet.
Right.
I think the client wanted to jump through all the hoops first before.
If I'm looking at it right, I'm looking at sheet 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the driveway as it comes down approaching the new building has a T-shape to it right in front of the driveway to the new building.
Yes.
And the southerly leg of that T there, what?
That's actually the existing right of way.
Oh, that's a portion of the existing right-of-way.
Over here.
Yeah. That's the one that we talked about earlier. I just assume leave it, not vacate it. Provides a little area there. Something to pull off.
So what would the final limits of the pavement look like in there, Ben?
We would go from approximately here
Right.
Somewhere near this existing garage. Around here, this will get paved. And then we get paved to just beyond the home. So there could be a little bit of area paved in front of it for a turnaround.
Okay.
And then paved in for its driveway.
I think Mr. Keady had a good suggestion in his review letter, and that was when a real architectural plan gets put together and a proposed home is proposed, that a plot plan specific to that be submitted with specific grading for that.
Okay.
Yeah, don't go through, unless there's, you know, maybe it's a rather long memo, so I don't know if Mr. Keady has any high points he'd like to have you address, and then we can just fill in the blanks from there. Rob, I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, just beginning of my general routine.
Yes.
You don't have to go through every comment. Right. If you agree to it, I'm glad people say you agree.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. I guess we should really talk about the steep slope aspect of this. I know you are proposing to minimize the slope, but if you review that portion of the ordinance, technically you are disturbing some steep slopes. You're going to have to provide the grading plan that you just testified to, but also some investigation as to the soils and the stability of the soils so that we know we're not going to be disturbing them, even though you're minimizing the slope, because we'll be disturbing the slope as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly I'd like to hear something about that, but also I think if you don't have things, you have to provide some sort of additional documentation regarding that.
Like a geotechnical evaluation?
Yeah. And then I guess another issue is in regards to the sanitary sewer that is, I'm going to say, somewhere in this vicinity going north-south, we can locate that because we have to determine if we're going to need an easement or not.
Yeah, I believe we got maps from your office. They're 200 scale. It appears that sanitary sewer, there's a manhole located here to the north of the property and to the south of the property. And my guess is that it does run through proposed lot 9.01 and that an easement would be required. It's a pretty overgrown site, so we may need some help from Public Works that they can get us in the right location and we can pick it up in a survey. We don't have it surveyed. Again, the maps are very old, and they're 200 scale. So,
were you pointing to the right of way? Is that where it's located?
I believe it runs through the right of way. It appears to have that alignment. There's a manhole. On an old large scale map, it appears that it might be in this just to the north of the right of way, and then there's a little strip over here that appears the other manhole. So it does run. It appears to run through the right of way. I can't confirm that until we actually field locate the manholes.
Yeah, I think I really have two purposes for that. One, to see if we have to obtain any easements, and then secondly, certainly for location of the proposed dwelling, we want to make sure we're going to be outside of any type of, not on it certainly, but certainly outside of any area that would require maintenance, if there's an easement running through proposed lot 901, we want to make sure we're outside of the woods.
So we'll field locate that and show it on the plan as part of resolution compliance and certainly provide an easement to the benefit of the borough.
This will be for gravity system.
I would assume so. I mean, it's a gravity system now. Depending on how deep it is, my guess is that we'll be able to hit it. We may have to have an ejector pump to get it to the main.
Will the sewer lateral connection cause more disturbance to the steep slope area than just the driveway grading?
Well, it would. I would imagine that it would be under the driveway. I don't know if well, it would probably run through the driveway into the right way.
So you'll do what you can to try and minimize that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I guess another item perhaps is to talk about, obviously the right-of-way is undersized in accordance with RSI standards. Certainly, ordinance talks about the ability to grant additional right-of-way. Perhaps I can talk about that.
Well, we have a very restrictive CAFRA permit, which is not going to let us create any more impervious or any more disturbance. We have physical structures. As you can see, the two structures sort of at the neck up there are very close to the right-of-way as it is. So I don't think there is the ability to make it any wider, certainly not under our permitting with the DEP, that's for sure.
But if you're going to have structures on these lots, there has to be some sort of access for emergency equipment.
Well, the only access we have is what's shown on these maps, is that's the unnamed right-of-way. There can't be any widening of that right-of-way.
They actually went at it narrower.
Yeah.
They went at 8 feet.
We told them that we have to provide access to the property. We have to provide some semblance of emergency access to the property.
So RSIS.
We don't have the ability. Quite frankly, up at the bottleneck, there's two structures there, I believe. Mr. Hopkins, is that right?
Yes.
The green and the brown, where there's fixed points between the two structures, is very, very narrow. You couldn't get through there anyway unless you moved one of those houses.
RSIS does have a provision for a specific town. It's actually the First Amendment. I think it's Hardy Township that does allow the right, not the right of way, but the paved width to go down to 12 feet.
Alleyway.
I'm assuming it's a township up north. So it's not, it certainly is unusual, but I don't think it's unprecedented.
Would this driveway configuration and the right-of-way that we have take some sort of de minimis exception or application to DCA for?
I don't believe so. I think you just give them a copy of the resolution, put them on notice. That's my experience.
Okay.
Sidewalks, obviously, not going to happen here. So,
this right-of-way.
It's only serving one house for all intents and purposes.
It is a right-of-way, but it's acting as if it's a driveway.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
I mean, the other thing you didn't mention is, you know, about the widening of it. Again, it is a steep slope area. Additional steep slopes to create a wider right of way that's really it's really necked down by the two structures and then
that's fire. Right. Yeah, can't get through it.
And if you could also verify that we do not have 35% slopes, I just want to make sure of that because that would.
I will confirm that it was the intention to go to a maximum of 3-1, which would be 33%. So I will confirm. Well, it certainly isn't our intent, and if grading has to be adjusted, we'll do it. There was a, Mr. Key, there was a comment about site triangles.
Oh, yeah.
I would just ask, could we forgo that since there really isn't going to be any other traffic on this right-of-way? So if somebody's coming out of the driveway on lot 901, they're really not going to have to be looking for somebody.
I guess my main thought with that was so they don't want any proposed plantings within site triangle areas that could obstruct the view. I mean, you're not really proposing anything, but in the future.
Okay.
So there are certainly areas that are within the proposed lots, and I want to make sure they remain clear.
Okay.
See in our board engineer's review letter, page 5, item 8, talks about the slope of the street grade. I guess that would actually be what would be more or less the driveway grade, but approaching 28%. Is that?
I checked that, Mr. Keady, and
I came up with, I think in my mind before I checked it, I was trying to hold 16%, and I checked it before I came here, and it was between 13 and 15.
And the vast majority is at the very end of it, on the northern end, where, okay, where you kind of tie in. It looks like it's at least I scaled it to be about 20%, but maybe just a little bit of grading towards
the end. That's just getting back. We're proposing to end the pavement there, and that's just, it would just be natural grading back down to get to existing.
Right, I understand. You're okay. Connected to an existing point, but that's where the steep part was. I know that can somehow be regraded slightly to bring it down.
Well, I honestly would like to. It's just that it's going to our impervious by CAFRA and disturbance both are we're at the limits. I mean, the only other thing I could do is put maybe a wall there, and I don't know if that's, I'd rather not. I think it'd be safer with a steep slope than with a wall at the end in the guide rail.
What are we talking about?
Right here.
At the end, yeah. Where our pavement ends?
Well, yeah, pavement ends, and then I just graded it back.
Just feather it off.
Yeah.
Well, if not, it's actually, when the pavement ends and it heads south, there's a bit there that's steeper slope, so if that could be flattened out.
Okay.
All right. Where's that? Right by the driveway.
Yeah. I don't know where we are with the letter.
If Rob was all done with his points, yeah. I'll just have Walter finish up the letter. I just didn't want to cut Rob off.
Yeah, I just kind of took up. I just talked about some of the highlights. If the applicant agrees to the letter, then it kind of covers everything else unless the board wanted to hear anything specific. So, or if the applicant has something else to testify to in regards to some of the comments.
Yeah, we'll just, why don't you just finish up. If there's anything else in that memo that you need to address, and then we'll finish up your testimony.
Page 6, number 12, it's talking about street lighting. I think we're kind of trying to go with the concept that this is a driveway. It's going to be further disturbance to trench the conduit for the light poles. So we prefer not to put street lighting along this driveway.
Would there be any sort of driveway lights?
No
lighting.
We could do that on our property. Yeah. We could put lights on our property.
Olive lights or something.
Well, need something a little decorative. Mm-hmm. Coach lights or whatever, you know, something decorative.
Just not municipal grade street lights, I guess.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
We could put them probably along, bear with me 1 minute, Walt. Coming down from, where's the house here? Maybe we put a couple.
Okay, yeah, we'll put a little.
We'll put a couple along on the right hand side going down the hill, which runs along a proposed lot 14.
Okay.
We keep them on private property.
Street names? You got some good street names here?
Unnamed.
Unnamed.
Unnamed road.
You have a veteran you want to name on here?
Well, since we're not proposing the street, that would be at the discretion of the governing body. Yeah. So we're just proposing to utilize the existing right of way.
Okay.
I think that's. There's several comments in here about the under environmental. We have a CAFRA permit. We'll certainly submit that to Mr. Key's office. There was a comment on page 8 regarding the slump lots. In my review, I believe this is an area, I think the slump block is actually the upper part of the hill, not this part that's been identified. But we've already agreed to provide a geotechnical evaluation, which I think also satisfies this.
Did any portion of the slope on this property fail during the rainfall?
We just went out there, and it's heavily vegetated, and you know, that's nature's best erosion control, and
There was nothing.
You were out there when last?
Today.
Today.
Some water had come up. You could see some debris. Actually, somebody's dock had come up onto the property. But, the hill was in good shape. So other than that, I believe we can address the comments and work them out with your engineer.
Okay. Just go back to the variance. We have a variance here, essentially for a C1 variance on the depth of that lot. Is that correct?
On lot 9.01.
The one we are creating for the proposed new home.
Yes.
And that is triggered by the confines of which the lot is situated, with the water to the rear of the lot and the right of way to the front of the lot.
Yes.
There's no ability, obviously, to make it deeper, fair to say. In terms of the other variances, those are all existing condition variances, which are not being exacerbated. Is that correct?
Other than
I'll get the deed restriction ones.
Okay. Yes.
Is that correct? And the lots that are being created that are undersized, we are not asking for development to those lots. The applicant has stipulated that there could be a deed restriction against development. However, we're requesting a board in that deed restriction not to restrict accessory structures which could be applied for the Zoning Board of Adjustment. And I also ask the board to retain jurisdiction over such a deed restriction.
And would these lots be linked in this restriction to the
I would suggest that Mr. Serpico and I just have an agreement and a resolution on that point.
And the accessory structures, no living space or anything like that. It'd just be a garage,
like a small
or a shed, or
small
a boathouse, or something.
Decorative boathouse for storage. Not like a, I don't want to say a shed, because a shed can look pretty pretty ugly. So you want to do something that looks pretty good. In terms of any substantial detriment to the public good, these are obviously permitted uses on the site. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You don't know of any thing that will produce any activities which are unresidential in character or nature.
No, this is we're reducing the number of lots, and we're bringing the lots more into conformance by increasing their size, and actually on one of the lots reducing the rear yard variance.
There's no production of air pollution, noise pollution, vibration, dust, nothing of anything other than residential character.
That's correct.
As far as any, again, impairment, substantial impairment of the zone plan, zoning ordinance, you just touched on it, you're actually creating a better situation. More conforming lots. You're not asking the board for development rights associated with those non-conforming lots we're establishing.
That's correct.
Okay.
And the proposed lots are in keeping with the neighborhood, actually. Many lots in the area with homes on them are smaller.
And you are improving the municipal right-of-way to the extent that the NJDEP will permit such an improvement.
That's correct.
Okay.
With regard to the steep slope, your feeling is that CAFR has created a hardship for your compliance with our steep slope ordinance?
That's correct. In addition, we're disturbing area that was already that was previously disturbed, and we've also agreed to a geotechnical evaluation to substantiate that there no damage would be caused.
That was part of the justification for the CAFR permit, was because that driveway area was previously disturbed, I guess, going through the area that you have labeled as the coastal bluff there?
So one time it was paved?
Yeah, it was a catch 22. They were allowing us to go through it, but then they were telling us that we had to count it as pervious.
Okay. I actually said two more questions, actually, if you don't mind. I suggested moving west to extend the pavement limits a bit, because there's a section of pavement there that's in poor condition from I guess the prior application of this application. It just makes sense to improve that pavement. And then what are your thoughts on garbage?
Currently, I was there with Mr. Giamina before the meeting. Currently, there's like a little corral that the residents use up there.
Yep.
So we would just propose that they would walk up, unfortunately, but they would have to walk up. And can we clarify where it is that you are requesting that we extend the pavement to? I think we're ending here. Would it be all the way up to here, or just past, or just to here?
I don't believe it's almost like a way. But
okay.
We
can do that.
Yeah, I don't mind doing it. It's, I don't think it's all the way up to the loop, but it's
okay.
Somewhere.
I have nothing further, Mr. Stockton. The board has questions.
Does anybody from the board have any questions or comments or things to talk about?
And just let me add one thing. When the board considered the subdivision of Lot 7, which is now 701 and 702, similar variances were granted by the board. I have a copy of the resolution here.
Mm-hmm.
If you need that. You do. You have,
have
similar depth.
Yes.
Similar depth variance. Yes.
Yeah. I got a question. Were you going to stop the pavement up top? Why wouldn't you bring the road all the way down?
Well, we're bringing the road down.
Trace it all the way down so the gentleman can see.
Somewhere up here, we're going to catch the existing.
Yeah, I understand that.
Bring it all the way down and just pass this home.
Yeah. But that's not going to be paved.
Yes, it will. This will be paved all the way down to here.
All right. I just had a thought you were stopping on the top or something.
No.
We were going to here, and Mr. Keaty asked that he said there's an area in here that he'd like
approved.
So we're going to extend it a little bit beyond.
Mm-hmm. How are you dealing with the stormwater management? Did you need to address that with?
Well, it's under the threshold for
major.
Yeah.
What, the stormwater?
Yes.
I suspect we'll take the rainwater off the roof and discharge it directly into the river. The best clean water.
The lot that's not part of this application, I can't really.
12?
It's at the very end, the
north
end.
Yeah.
Is that going to be part of the resolution with regard to the development and its connection to the upland properties?
It's not part of this application. Wasn't included on our plans. I just gave you the overall scheme of what the intention is of the applicant as far as linking it up with those upland lots to provide frontage for docks.
And if we leave that as it is without any mention in this application, what are the development possibilities of that? What is it? It's already that
we've
size.
Explored.
It's already a lot, right?
Yeah, it is a lot. And I don't know what the size of it is. It probably is close to conforming, probably close to 14,000 square feet. I don't know if you have that.
I don't have it, it's undersized.
Yeah, is it undersized? We explored that with the NJDEP. They weren't of the mind to give us any more development rights along the river on this property. Valuable piece of land. But those are the rules. That's it. 100 years ago, you could have done it. You're not going to do it.
Yep. The upland parcels on that would be associated with those two are already sold? Or?
No, they're still under the same ownership. They have not been sold.
Did your CAFR permit include permission for the dock that you showed?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So all that's.
It was a waterfront development.
And.
We have the approved. I have the stamped approved plan from the DEP here. If I give it to Rob, though, the only one I got, Rob.
Can we copy it?
I'll make a copy and give it to you because I don't want to lose this. This is the stamped one from the DEP. And
okay.
I so need it. It's a lot of time and effort went into that one.
Could you provide me a copy for my file, sir, please?
I'll make a couple copies.
We'll make a copy real quick.
There you go.
Excellent.
Do you want a copy
and
send to me?
Why don't you keep it and walk
in and send it. Yeah. I'll get you a stamped copy so you'll have it for your file. Make a couple copies. Yeah, make one
for A1 was...
CAFR permit.
So that should be made part of A1.
Yeah.
All right, we'll
do
that.
Matter of fact, I'll mark it down.
Is it about half a dozen? Okay.
talked about the providing the geotechnical report. And what is your thought on that? Hoping.
Well, we were hoping it wouldn't be necessary. However, I know you have concerns about this. Mr. Keating expressed concerns about the slope. What would be the extent of that study?
I think we would have a qualified geotechnical expert review my plans, and to the extent that he could use published information, maybe he would use published information if they had to go out there and do a soil boring, they would do a soil boring, and provide a letter that says that they, you know, they review what we're proposing and don't think that endangers the stability of the soil.
Do you think that could happen by the next meeting, or?
When is next?
November 10th.
I wouldn't be here. I couldn't be at that meeting. Can we make it subject to acceptable report by review, subject to Mr. Keating's review?
Would you be okay with that?
I don't have a problem with that. Just if the board is interested in, you know, hearing any testimony or reviewing the report.
Well, any major questions from the board over?
The area that we're disturbing. And the steep slopes were previously disturbed, so it's not like we're digging up virgin ground here. So, with all due respect, that would be my...
And DEP didn't have a concern about that?
No.
And it would appear that the structure that you're going to put there will be part of this site stabilization, right? The foundation of that building will actually be a retainer of...
Possibly. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. It's in a. If you go up to the site, it looks even flatter than it does on paper. It really does. When you go up to the site, it looks like it looks like it belongs there. There's a nice flat area at the bottom of the slope, and that's where the home is going. It's where it belongs.
It's outside sheet 3, right here. Contours are pretty wide.
Okay. And the disturbance is really the drive, it's not the home.
That's the steepest part of it where the existing right of way is.
Yeah, right. So our ordinance says you can't be within, I don't know, 15 feet or 25 feet of the total slope. It's not the house, it is the driveway.
It's the driveway, proposed driveway, and the right of way.
Right. It's the driveway and the right of way, which are, I guess, disturbing the slopes.
Right.
Okay. And did you make some recommendation of changing this configuration at all? In your, if I was
of the house or the
of this road structure here.
No. My only recommendation was, as far as the road was, to vacate portion that looks as if it's a parking space adjacent to the driveway.
This little stuff.
Right, that one. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And the applicant has agreed to do that?
No, I'd rather
just leave it.
I see. And that was, I didn't realize that you were talking about.
I think it'd be a good spot where someone could turn around or park or whatever.
Okay.
Just so the less, you know, I think is better in light of the slopes and everything.
Bob, could you talk more about why you think that the geotechnical review is necessary?
Yeah,
and then maybe you could tell us why you think it's not.
Yeah, because I mean, just even though the existing right-of-way goes through the steep slopes, they are changing the slope of it. So they're going to be disturbing it. And because they're just re-disturbing it, I just want to have a level of comfort that level of disturbance is not going to impact that slope. I understand that they're going to reduce the slope of it, but to create the roadway section will be disturbing that slope. And so I wanted, again, a level of comfort from a geotechnical engineer that it's not going to have any adverse impacts.
I'm not suggesting that we don't do that. All I'm requesting is that it be made a condition of approval rather than carry the, I think the chairman was possibly suggesting that this be carried to the next meeting. And I would just simply ask that it be a condition of approval. If something doesn't look right to Mr. Keating, then we'll be back to you.
We'll come back.
also true for the rest of Mr. Keating's letter and the issues that he raised, because we haven't addressed all of these. Are they all going to be?
I think we addressed all Mr. Keating's main topics that he had concerns
about. I believe the applicant agreed to the letter. We
addressed the rest of his satisfactory.
With the exception of installing streetlights.
Pardon? I'm sorry. Yeah.
Streetlights.
The streetlights we talked about putting them on private property.
No. And the sewer line wouldn't affect it at all?
We'll run the sewer line, I suspect, at the right way, as best we can.
Yeah, well, unless one we feel located, it's in conflict with the proposed home, then again, we'd be back here to discuss it with you, but certainly we're not going to build a house over the
sewer line.
I've seen that, too.
And if easements are necessary, you'll certainly grant whatever easements are necessary. Yeah.
Based on the complicated nature of the subdivision, I think it would be a great idea to perfect the
subdivision
by
map. We're
doing
it, but we talked about that.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Any other questions or comments from the board? I do see several people here from the public, so I do want to open it up to the public for questions of this witness about the testimony is given tonight. So. Miss, before you ask your question, I guess, could you state your name?
Yes. An address.
An address for the record.
Jennifer Poulakis.
Can you spell your last name, please?
Poulakos. The owner of 78 Portland Road. And everything that's proposed here is grand and lovely and wonderful. And if you were going to construct this from the river up, I'd say, wow, you're doing a wonderful job. But I don't understand how you're going to get all the equipment, machinery, heavy equipment through the driveway without damaging my house. The last time there was a proposal to develop this area here, I was actually told that my house could be purchased for the development because nothing could get down that driveway enough for this grant of a project. Already the boundaries for my property are slowly being destroyed only by the garbage truck. They don't respect the boundaries. The driveway is only so wide, and I own a portion of that driveway. Furthermore, myself, 78 Portland Road, 82 Portland Road, and 88 Portland Road, paved that driveway and paved that road out of our own pocket.